97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right, good Friday morning. You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show, and I'm thrilled that you are with us this morning in here alongside Kim St. Ange and Ethan Bright and Sue Thomas up very shortly with your traffic. If we have any problems, it's a Friday. We're in a good mood. I'm in a good mood.
And why is that?
I don't know. I can't imagine why that might be.
Why don't you tell the good people why you're in such a good mood?
Maybe a little bit of vacation coming up next week.
Oh, okay.
That's good.
That's it. Yep, that'll do it.
Little R&R, not having to worry about, big, beautiful bills and
SCOTUS decisions. I mean, there's a lot you might want to stick around for. It could be a big week.
It probably will. No doubt about it. You know, I was on vacation. They announced the other day it was the 3-year anniversary of the abortion decision overturning Roe. And I specifically remember the day that happened because I was sitting on a beach in Florida with my family when the alert started coming over the phone that had happened. And I'm like, I need to be on the radio. But I wasn't.
Hey, Mark,
because
you know,
I was on vacation.
We would be more than happy to call you if you'd like
every day
to do some sort of a segment from the beach this time.
5:20 is open every morning.
Thank you. Thank you.
You let us know.
Hopefully I will get a little bit of sleep for the next week or so. That is after the long drive. So we got plenty to get to today. Let's see. Who we got coming up at 8 o'clock? Did you tell me, Kim?
Alan Dershowitz.
Oh, yeah.
Right
attorney
at the top
Alan
of the
Dershowitz.
Hour. Yeah.
We're going to get to Dershowitz because of these Supreme Court decisions are going to be big today. I think he's got a new book out that we're going to talk to him about a little bit as well. But it'll be interesting to get his perspective on the fact that it is the final day of the Supreme Court session. And they've got 5 huge decisions that they've waited until the very last day to release. And I'm always convinced that they do this because they left town last night. And they'll release these this morning. I don't think there'll be a Supreme Court justice in the building today. I think they they always wait until the last day to release these for that very reason. So they can get the hell out of town. I may be wrong about that, but that's pretty much my take on it. Anyway, that's kind of what they're doing, and we're gonna cover that with Alan Dershowitz a little later. We got Ryan Schmelz coming up. Lots of good stuff to get to. Eric Burleson, who's on the Oversight Committee in Congress, and among other things, guess what? This may be breaking news. I don't know. As of right now, as of the way things stand at this moment on the, what is today's date, the 27th of June, as of today's date, Eric Burleson is a no on the big, beautiful bill, as are a number of other Republican congressmen because of this parliamentarian in the Senate who is a longtime Democrat appointee who has taken the very political stance of rejecting a number of key elements of this bill that Republicans were pushing for. Now, she never brought up any of these concerns when Democrats were doing things through reconciliation. Suddenly, it's an issue. And the Senate leader, Thune, could override her. He has the power to do it. Trent Lott did it once. It's not unheard of. She could be fired and replaced. But Thune so far refuses to do that. I don't understand why. We'll see if Burleson has any thoughts on that a little bit later here. So Kim, I have a dilemma here. Not a dilemma. It's just karma, I guess. I don't know. We are in the process of selling my wife's car, right? We're gonna trade it in on something else. It's getting a lot of miles on it. And we had a mechanical issue, and we had to go get it fixed. $1,300 later, the car's fixed. We bring it home, park it in the garage. She gets up to go somewhere yesterday morning. Car won't start. And it's got nothing to do with the fix that we did because it was a timing chain issue. Now the starter is apparently dead.
Oh, gosh.
So I think the car heard us talking about getting rid of it, and it decided to stick it to us just a little bit more before we traded in.
So what I was going to say, so I guess you get it fixed, or do you just say this isn't
worth it? No, they're not going to take a car that doesn't run. I got to have it towed back to the mechanic spend another $300 or $400 getting a starter put in it, and then go trade it.
It's so depressing what they give you for your car when you paid so much money for it. You took decent care of it, and then they're like, "Here's."
And
you know,
this is a
$2,000.
This is a Honda, and it has been pretty maintenance free for most of the time we've owned it until right here at the end when it's decided it's going to get even with us for making the decision to get rid of it.
Well, I won't talk about my car then. Car, I love you. You're great.
Yeah, do not mention your car out loud. It might hear you and take out its vengeance on you. I don't know. All right, time to get to our top stories this morning, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
Everybody wants to be with us because we have the hottest country in the world. A year ago, we had a disaster on our hand. We had the coldest country, I think, by far. And now we have the hottest.
Everybody wants to be the hottest. Everybody wants you when you're the hottest. And Donald Trump saying, listen, we're on the verge of signing a deal with India, China, the UK. Everybody's lining up to make trade deals. We're making a lot on tariffs. The economy's looking good. Why would you not want to be in America, businessmen?
We are not going to let the Senate parliamentarian or Democrats or even squishy Republicans stand in our way from passing the biggest tax cut on working class families and small businesses that this country has ever seen.
Well, that's Senator Jim Banks. Now, I'm not real familiar with Banks, but I'm hoping that he knows something I don't. Because as of right now, Thune won't fix this problem. And if Thune won't fix this problem, I know a lot of Republicans in the House who are going to vote no on the big, beautiful bill.
Obliterated is a good word for me to use. I can tell people in South Carolina, nobody is going to work in these three sites anytime soon.
It is almost comic that the left wanted to argue that Iran did not have a nuclear weapon, and now they want to argue that because we bombed them, they could have one next week. Have you thought about that?
You can just kill ICE agents. You know that? You can just kill them. They don't have to hold your phone in their face and ask people when their birthday is and ask people what their name is and then try to find wherever they end up in Los Angeles. You can kill them.
Yeah, isn't that nice? That's one of the crazy libs on TikTok. It was a man who thinks he's a woman. Had the nose ring. I've always thought when I see nose rings like that, the ones in the center, not the little piercings on the side. I guess you'd get away with that. But the one in the middle reminds me of the ones that you put on a bull to lead it around in a field. I've never understood that. Never will, I guess, as long as I live. Maybe it's a generational thing. But I've never understood why you would want a bull nose ring in your nose.
No, I don't think I would ever want that. My parents would have freaked.
I've often thought that, and please, I'm only making an observation here. So if you are one of my listeners and you've chosen to cover an entire body part with tattoos, just hear me out. I've often wondered, it's your skin. I guess you can do what you want to it if you're an adult. I've often thought people do that for attention, just like the nose ring thing. You're doing it because you want somebody to notice you. You want somebody to notice something different about you.
Yeah, except for the tattoos that people say are sentimental. I'm not a big tattoo person, and I don't have any.
I'm not talking about a single tattoo.
Oh, okay, so
I'm talking about
the
ones that cover your entire body part, whatever that body part happens to be. If it's visible to the public, I think you're doing it because you want to be seen. You want to be different. When you dye your hair purple, you're doing it to make some sort of a scream to the people, hey, I'm here, look at me. Same thing with the nose ring, I think. But regardless, you should see this individual and listen to the mental illness. Now, a number of people, including some members of Congress, have forwarded this particular TikTok video to the FBI because you have to listen to what this insane person says. Go ahead and play the full 30-second clip there, cut number 9, please.
You can just kill ICE agents. You know that? You can just kill them. You don't have to hold your phone in their face and ask people when their birthday is and ask people what their name is and then try to find wherever they end up in Los Angeles. You can kill them. This isn't about social media clout anymore. This isn't about video. This isn't about the phone. This is about get a gun and start killing ICE agents. They are deputized corrections officers. Kill them.
That's so nice.
This is the modern left in this country. If you don't like it and you're in that party, you need to stand up and say something about it. It's what I always used to, I've always said and maintained about Islam. If you're a Muslim and you claim to be a peace loving person, explain to me why you've not done more to address the radical Islamic movement in this country and in the world. Explain it to me. I don't understand how people like this exist, but they exist, and they're in L.A. apparently, that one, and I'm hoping that the FBI is already planning to knock on the door today. This is what you're dealing with in some of these cases. And if you think she's alone, listen to Congresswoman Rashida Tlaib yesterday.
But I think it's important to understand this is important to hear that immigrant communities have been saying since 2003 that ICE has been rogue and that has not followed people's constitutional rights.
Does abolish ICE go too far, though?
Not for me.
That's a United States congresswoman who wants to abolish Immigrations and Customs Enforcement. They walk among, the morons walk among us. So they're just two small examples for you on a Friday morning. We're going to get to a quick break here. All right. So, of course, 9 a.m. yesterday morning, the minute we go off the air, the Supreme Court drops one of its bigger cases, and that is this Planned Parenthood story, which is just huge. This was a major swing and a miss by the pro-murder group Planned Parenthood. A major swing and a miss here. They don't like laws that prevent them from getting public money to commit abortions. So they decided they were going to challenge the South Carolina law, which is similar to the Missouri law. So they found a couple of complainants to go out and claim that they wanted to use Planned Parenthood as their medical provider for Medicaid. And the state said, no, you can't do that. We're not going to allow you to use public funds to spend on Planned Parenthood, who provides abortions. And Planned Parenthood's argument, as it always is, as well, we do other things. Well, it's interesting that if you do other things, why did you have to close clinics after abortion services were shut down?
You do a small percentage of other things so that you can say you do other things and make this exact argument. Your main driver of revenue is abortion.
Is abortion. It is. And they don't like laws that require women to have to pause and think about it before they pull the trigger. They don't want laws where you have to watch an ultrasound of your infant wiggling around in your belly and listen to the heartbeat before you decide to use the suction device to end its life. They don't want these things at Planned Parenthood. But what they do want are your tax dollars. So they got a couple of defendants to sue the state of South Carolina saying, you are preventing me from getting the medical care I need, whatever it was besides abortion, at Planned Parenthood. And South Carolina said no. And not shockingly, they Planned Parenthood, won victories at several lower court levels who put an injunction on the state of South Carolina, said, no, you can't do this, blah, blah, blah. And you know exactly all of their decisions were politically motivated because they were probably pro-abortion until it got to the Supreme Court where they got smacked down. So it's going to have an impact on a lot of places. A lot of states have passed rules that restrict money going to Planned Parenthood. And this was a huge victory yesterday in the United States Supreme Court. This is how the media plays. I love how the media plays this. A divided Supreme Court ruled Thursday. States can block the country's biggest abortion provider from receiving Medicaid money for health services. The 6-3 opinion, authored by Gorsuch and joined by the rest of the court's conservatives, was not directly about abortion, but it comes as Republicans back a wider push across the country to defund the organization. It cuts off Planned Parenthood's primary court path to keeping Medicaid funding in place. And their primary path was lawsuits from their patients. So the government has now shut this down. And it's going to affect the one in Missouri. There's no doubt about that, because in 2024, they passed legislation in Missouri banning Medicaid funding for the abortion provider. Democrats staged a 12-hour filibuster, and they didn't like it, but Parson signed that bill. And now, right, they've got a Supreme Court decision to back them up. So that was a major victory yesterday. The big one, the biggest one today, in my opinion, will be the decision around injunctions and whether or not district judges who haven't been elected by anybody but are appointed to lifetime appointments to the court can just suddenly stop a sitting president from invoking his policies. And I'm hoping they're going to get smacked down on that one, too. So we'll be keeping a close eye on those. Again, as soon as we go off the air today, the Kilmeade Show will have the very latest on all of that for you. All right, stay tuned. We will get to Kim on a Whim coming up in just a minute. Stay tuned.
I bet many of you listening right now would say that you've had issues over the last number of years, or maybe over the last number of weeks more recently, with your mail. Not showing up, taking forever to get there.
Oh, yeah.
You call USPS and they're like, I don't know, we have no record of that. I mean, if you just Google mail issues in St. Louis, you will see so many stories that people have done. In fact, it was kind of funny, Mark, because as I was researching for this story idea, I was, you know, trying to find old videos or, you know, news clips about this. And I actually pulled up one of mine from KMOV that I had completely forgotten about that must have been from, I think it was like 2021. Now, obviously, they blamed a lot of the delays on COVID, but we're how many years out from COVID? You can't keep blaming it on COVID.
No.
Then whenever it's around the holidays, they say, well, it's because we have so many different things we're trying to do and all these deadlines and packages. And that's why we're overwhelmed. And it's like every single time they have some sort of an excuse, and there's never really any change. Well, now Congressman Mike Bost out of Illinois is calling for an audit of the St. Louis Processing and Distribution Center because he's saying that, sure, it's impacting people here in the greater St. Louis area, but they also are actually in charge of mail as it relates to Southern Illinois. And so he's saying this is getting ridiculous and we need to do something about it. He's not alone. Senator Holly also had called for an audit, and nothing really, again, comes out of it. And that's what's so frustrating. You had lunatic, I guess, is the word that comes to mind, Louis DeJoy, the former postmaster.
I remember it.
I have to play this clip because it blows my mind that he went before Congress. This was an oversight hearing back in December. And he was questioned about all the crazy issues that were going on with USPS, because it's not like Missouri and Illinois are alone and having all these delays and mail just not showing up at all. And he had the audacity at one point to cover his ears during this hearing because he didn't want to listen to it anymore. Listen to part of this exchange from December.
Sir, do not get an A grade. You cannot give yourself that grade.
I just did.
You can't.
I just
you can't
did.
Grade your own paper, sir. I've been to medical school. I got my MBA. You can't. I'm sorry. You are graded by the United States people, and they don't use your service anymore. You bankrupt.
That is not true.
You
that
bankrupt this true, through, sir, your
my
reputation
business
only.
Is growing.
Through your
my
reputation,
business is growing.
You are responsible for the fall of the Postal Service
now,
and the lack
Congress,
of accountability.
This Congress is responsible for the fall of the Postal
so it's
Service.
Congress.
I am trying to fix.
How do you rationalize
I am trying
that?
To fix
on your
the
watch,
Postal Service.
With all the AI.
Before my watch, the same stuff happened.
With all the AI, with all the computer systems, you're worse than if I took
you're
a horse
to yourself.
And picked up the mail and delivered it 2 miles down the road.
road.
He's probably not wrong. A horse could be quicker.
Isn't DeJoy a Trump appointee?
He was originally appointed by Trump, I think. I thought so. But now they've selected David Steiner.
Yeah.
He is the former CEO of the waste management company. He's also a current FedEx board member. And he's going to be taking over control of USPS actually in July. So he was already selected, but he doesn't really officially start until next month, which, by the way, next month starts next week. So it's here. So it'll be very interesting to see what happens with all of this, because it is ridiculous. And yeah, some mail we get is junk and we'd probably be fine with not getting it anyway. But man, I mean, there are a lot of people who rely on mail for their business, who receive different things related to checks or medication, or I mean, a number of different things where if you're not getting that, that's a problem. You're getting slapped with late fees and all kinds of things that you shouldn't be dealing with simply because USPS apparently can't do its job.
Well, I mean, this is the whole thing. I'm sure there are bad eggs everywhere. There's got to be a bigger issue, a bigger management issue going on, because nothing's changed. I can remember taking a field trip to the post office when I was little, in probably middle school, and being fascinated with watching the mail zip by and how they sorted and everything. And I'm not wholly sure that process has changed a whole lot in the last 40 years. I don't know what role technology plays in all of it. I get the impression that the system has been bogged down by an unwillingness to change the way things have been done for a long time. Mm-hmm. I think the greatest test of your confidence in the United States Postal Service is, here's a challenge for you. If you believe it's still great, put five $100 bills in a security envelope and lick it and close it and put a stamp on it and mail it to yourself. If you're that confident in what they do, do that. And I would guess that most people might not be willing to do that, mm-hmm, because you're not sure if it's going to make it back or not.
People are going to FedEx and UPS because they don't want to risk it.
I think they got to look at some pretty major changes in how they do that. It's always been subsidized by the taxpayer, mm-hmm, and to some extent, it's kind of outlived its usefulness. I got to be honest with you. The only time recently that I've gone to a post office was to, I think I mailed, when I went to mail T-shirts to Nicole Murray and Todd Pyro, and who was it? Somebody else. Oh, Griff.
Yeah.
Last year, I went to the post office sometime before Christmas, and I mailed packages to them and picked up some stamps while I was there. But generally, I buy my stamps somewhere else, like at the grocery store or something. I just don't have any reason to go there anymore. And most of what I get in my mailbox at home is junk mail.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know.
I don't necessarily blame the individual workers. I think they're...
No,
most
the lady
of them
that
are
delivers
doing
our mails,
the best that they
delightful.
Absolutely can. I'm sure right. There are some people who are lazy and don't do a good job, but they're probably in the minority. I would say every single mail person I've ever dealt with has been very, very nice and is working really hard with what they are able to do, given the resources that they have, because it seems like they've been understaffed for quite some time, and I don't know what the problem is there. If the pay is not great, or the hours are terrible, or you know they have dogs chasing them, what is it? Like, is it just a really hard job to get qualified people for?
I don't know.
Who aren't terrible drivers and won't slam into mailboxes? And
I've known some wonderful people that work for the post office. I don't know what it is. I mean, I would think it's a pretty good federal job. It's a pretty good retirement if you can stick it out until retirement.
Holidays
time.
Off.
Yeah, but somewhere there's a problem, and if changing the director doesn't fix it, and it's more of a systemic problem, then at some point Congress has to decide how much more money do we pour into this.
Well, that's what DeJoy was saying, is that it's your fault, Congress. Now, like you're saying, maybe there are some things on a congressional level that do need to change, and I don't know what that would be.
I think an audit is a great idea. We should get Boss on here and talk about that.
And it's funny because there have been so many calls for this. Like there was a 2022 audit of the St. Louis Distribution Center, and that revealed staffing shortages, scanning errors, machine processing issues, and thousands of later canceled mail trips. And I was watching a video, I forget which one of the local TV stations did it, maybe Fox or something, Fox 2, and they were talking to one of the businesses that does shipping, not even just here in the St. Louis area, to Anheuser-Busch and the city of St. Louis. Those are some of their clients, but they have clients who are in different parts of the world, other countries. And they said, we're having so many issues that checks that are thousands of dollars just aren't showing up and we can't rely on them. So they're paying more money to go through UPS because they feel like it's worth it, knowing that it's more likely to get somewhere on time. Of course, USPS was like denying that and saying, we have no record to show that there's been any sort of a delay from this address.
I would guess you should probably always pay the little extra amount and get it tracked. get a track. If it's important enough to that you've got to get a bill or something delivered to someone, go ahead and pay the upgrade and get the tracking. That way you have just a little bit of peace of mind.
Yeah, but nothing is more irritating than when you're tracking it and you're seeing that it's at the local distribution center and just sitting there and you can't get it. Or it somehow is, I've seen it where it's been local and then somehow it ships to a different state and I can't explain why, considering it was right here, like at the Hazelwood location.
Good
if
luck.
You've ever had that
if
happen.
If you ever try to call and get a hold of somebody to talk to.
Yeah.
Good luck. Good luck with that. Hey, you know, we've talked about the governor's appointees to this police board, and people have been rather critical of his choices, either based on the fact that they didn't think there was enough diversity, equity, and inclusion in his picks, or the fact that after the fact it came out that a couple of people that have been appointed actually donated to Governor Kehoe. Now, had I known that for a simple $500 donation, I too could have been on the police board, maybe I would have donated $500. I'm just kidding. I don't want to be on the police board. The point is, did they really think he was going to go in and pick a bunch of people who he didn't know or he didn't have any sort of relationship with to be on this board? We're going to talk more about another controversy that's popped up here since yesterday regarding that board right after this. All right, welcome back. So we were all big supporters here. I was, I'll say at least, and I think some of my other hosts here on the radio station were as well, Annie and Mark, of local control of the St. Louis police. And it's pretty simple because you still have the defund the police crowd out there, and you know what tends to happen in St. Louis politics. They tend to gravitate to whatever the far left progressive meal of the day happens to be. That's where they go. So it's better to have those decisions being made by a group of people who are not political appointees of the mayor of St. Louis. And while she'll be on this board, she's going to be one voice among, what, five or six people. And some of them are voting members and some of them are not. And, you know, the governor, Governor Kehoe, took a little bit of grief for the fact that when he made these appointees, they found out that three of them had actually donated money to him. And, you know, one was a longtime restaurateur here in St. Louis. One was a car dealer. They brought up, why would you put Don Brown on the board? Well, it's important that business owners be represented on the St. Louis Police Board. You're not going to hear me agree with everything that Governor Kehoe does, but in this particular case, I don't have a problem with that appointment. Don Brown, unlike a lot of business owners in St. Louis, has chosen to remain in his spot down there off of 44 for a long time. What is he called? At the entrance to the hill, right? He has been a longtime and vocal supporter of the St. Louis police. I've seen him at these luncheons where they have quarterly luncheons to honor police officers, and he has been active in that for a long time. What does the Business Journal do? They run out and they find out that, of course, he's done business with the St. Louis police over the years, right? He's a businessman first and foremost. But by God, if you support the police, I'm on your side. And pat on the back to you, Don Brown, for doing what you do. for embracing our police officers and supporting them for years and donating God knows how much to charity events that support police officers over the years. This is what the Post reports. This apparently sticks in their craw. They had to run out and get lefty Ken Warren, professor emeritus from St. Louis University. I've been on a panel with Ken before. I think the first time Trump won, if I remember correctly. That was a lot of fun. But anyway, so they're mad because he is currently doing more than a billion. I sound like Donald Trump. He's currently doing more than $1 million in annual business with the St. Louis Metropolitan Police Department, according to city records, prompting an academic to say this could present a conflict of interest. Well, he didn't get his appointment to the board because he does business with the St. Louis Police Department. He has done plenty of business over the years. He provides some maintenance contracts for them that he says has gone through all of the normal channels to be approved, a competitive bid to deal with maintenance issues on fleet services. His company has been paid more than $5 million for fleet services to the department, according to records, right? He said that he would remove himself from any vote, or he doesn't have a vote, actually.
Yeah, he's a non-voting member.
But he would, just to keep away from the appearance of a conflict of interest, and I don't know how often they're dealing with those issues anyway, but he said he would not be part of those discussions as a direct result of this. But anything they could do to try to beat up on this fact, I mean, he pointed out that he's got a lot of contracts with other police departments in the area because, shocker, he's a supporter of the police. And I'm sure there was a competitive bid process here. In fact, it says that here, that the company went through a competitive bid process many times over the years to win contracts from the city. Why shouldn't a person in that position be able to have a say on police policies? Should that restrict him from having that role?
No,
I don't think
no,
so.
No, not necessarily. The initial thought I had when I heard Don Brown was appointed to this board was actually just the fact that Kehoe has a background in, you know, car sales. And so that was what I questioned. I'm not saying that that should also disqualify him from serving on the board. But for whatever reason, that was where my brain went.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, if I was elected governor and at some point on some board somewhere, I appointed somebody who had been a journalist or a radio talk show host at some point. Am I just doing it because they were radio talk show hosts, or am I doing it because they had some level of expertise in an area as a journalist or a talk radio host or whatever who could contribute something to the conversation? I mean, that's a big assumption to say, well, he only got the job because he's a fellow auto dealer.
I think the other things he's doing, like business. His dealings with police, the contracts he's had, his support for police over the years, it seems like that in and of itself would be enough to say, okay, it makes sense that you're on this board. Surface level, though, I kind of questioned it.
Yeah, I think it does make sense. And I think kudos to Don Brown. Thank you for all you've done for the St. Louis Police over the years. I've got friends who've talked to me many times over the years about contributions and things that the public never knows about that Don has done for the St. Louis Metropolitan PD. And I good for you if indeed you now have an advocate on the police board, somebody up there that can speak for the men and women who are on the street, because that's a lot of who he deals with. And he's also, guess what, a very successful businessman on top of all of that, but he gives back to his community. So you go, Don Brown. That's what I say here. All right, coming up, we're going to get to Ryan Schmelz. The Senate is going to begin a vote today, and the big issue is the parliamentarian. What happens with it? We'll talk about it coming up.
Get more at 971talk.com.